بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليه وسلم على رسول الله. To proceed inshallah, we continue our series Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as if you can see him, and that is a book written by Dr. Aid al-Qarni and published by the International Islamic Publishing House. And we are up to Prophet Muhammad's forbearance sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This book is more like a biography of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a different way of looking at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's more topical than chronological. That is why this Shema'il al-Tirmidhi type approach. So in this chapter, Dr. Aid al-Qarni starts here by saying that to be a forbearing person is to be tolerant, patient, moderate, lenient, and forgiving. According to his dictionary definition, and I think the dictionary definition he gave in Arabic was different, because I think that they got this dictionary definition from Oxford Talking Dictionary, abstinence from enforcing what's due. Forbearance is abstinence from enforcing what is due. So it is basically abstaining from taking revenge. It's abstaining from hitting back or talking back. And it says abstinence from doing or enforcing that which is due, because it is actually not about abstaining from justice, from injustice. It's abstaining from taking your full-blown right, simply your right. It's abstaining from taking a due revenge. So that is forbearance. And without a doubt, he says the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most forbearing of people. When personally wronged, he would restrain his anger and forgive. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as indicated by Aisha, has not ever gotten angry for himself, but if the rights of Allah or the bounds of Allah are violated or compromised, then he would avenge Allah's bounds. So that is the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would get angry and take revenge only if the rights of Allah have been compromised, not his own. And there are so many examples that we would come across in inshallah. You know, certainly one of the most momentous examples, and oftentimes when you talk about the small details, there will be like a point and a counterpoint and a point and a counterpoint. So for instance, when you talk about the history, and you pick small details from Encyclopedia Britannica about the Crusades, someone can pick another point. In fact, sometimes it would be just like an outright lie, but you'll invest so much time sorting out the lies and so on when you talk about small details. You know that movie, The Kingdom of Heaven? If you actually look, the movie has two DVDs, one that everybody watches, and the other one that no one watches, and has the commentary, and, you know, like addition of historical information. Some people watch it, but part of this, the addition of historical information that was presented in that part, by the way, watching movies is not a good thing unless it's like historical or there's like a certain benefit. So you're not going to watch just simple drama. But if there is something like historical or pertinent or relevant or so on, then you may overlook the harms for the, you know, greater benefit. But at any rate, so watching certain documentaries would be helpful, even if there is a little bit of music in the background, and we don't believe that music is permissible, yet we're not listening to the music, and if it is not, if it's not intended for itself, the music listening, then hearing it is will be exempt, inshallah, if there is a benefit that cannot be attained otherwise. The same applies to educational programs for the kids and so on and so forth. Anyway, going back to the Kingdom of Heaven, so the most commentaries that they have, they said, in one of them they said that the Crusades did not really, were not really very good at making swords. And they were, they actually learned how to make good swords, good solid, sharp swords from the Syrians. Because in Damascus, there is actually the Damascus sword. It has been known in the Middle Ages to be the best. So the legend goes that that what they did is after, like, in a certain phase in the production or the manufacturing of the sword, they would insert the sword into the body of a slave. So they will use the body of a slave as like a sword cushion, to insert the sword in the body of the slave so that the biochemical reactions that will ensue thereafter will cause the sword to be stronger and this and that. And then they add that when the Europeans took that idea, they replaced the body of the slave by hides of animals. That was sort of quite merciful. The Crusades would kill 70,000 people in Jerusalem of all kinds of religions and all sorts of denominations. And so they replaced the body of the slave. But if you look at the body of the slave now, to make one sword, you're using a slave per sword, right? Because it's not economical. Just forget about everything. Those Syrians were just the most evil of all people. Let's assume. It's not economical. You know, and the people who are that smart to know that you do need the those biochemical reactions and insert it in something that is live, they would have been a little bit, they would have been smart enough to know that a goat is cheaper than a slave, much cheaper. You know, sheep, goat, etc., would be much, much cheaper. So, this is, you know, if you apply the fact check to this, it just goes out of the door without even entertaining the historical background. But historically, it is a legend. It is not a fact. It is not a historical fact at all. If you look at Marco Polo's book about the East, and not only the Muslim East, but as far as China, if you look at the cover pictures that were drawn in the Middle Ages for that book, amazing. Even though Marco Polo himself did not say that inside, sometimes he certainly drifted off, but the cover picture had a human being with two heads and one leg, human beings with, arms like the leaves of trees, because those are the wonders of the East. Those are the monsters of the East. And so those stories were recycled in Europe, and it's amazing that they could actually make it to a movie that cost of this much money to produce. Anyway, so the details, but in order for you to defeat that particular piece of information, it will take you some time. But you look at the major things, the major events that are not deniable. And one of the major things that are not deniable, for instance, in terms of the Muslims' treatment of minorities versus Christians' treatment of minorities, and that's to be